those days, Judah got word of this matter. Okay. So, we know that according to the last chapter, the people were ready to surrender because of thirst. And they said, give us 5 days. Uzziah said, give us 5 days. And if God doesn't save us, we'll surrender. Well, anyway, in those days, Judah got word of this matter. She was the daughter of Merari, the son of Ox, the son of Joseph, the son of Aziel, the son of Elkiah, the son of Ananias, the son of Gideon, the son of Raphaim, the son of Ahijah, the son of Elijah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Eliab, the son of Nathaniel, the son of Salmiel, the son of Sarasedai, the son of Israel. And her husband was Manasseh, of her own tribe and family. He had died at the time of the barley harvest. For as he supervised those binding the sheaves in the field, he was overcome with a heat stroke and fell on his bed and died in his city of Bethulia. They buried him with his fathers in the field lying between Belton and Baalmon. Okay, let's go on. Judah remained a widow in her house for 3 years and 4 months, setting up a tent for herself on the rooftop of her house. And she wrapped sackcloth around her waist and wore the garments of her widowhood. She fasted every day of her widowhood, except for the day preceding the Sabbath, the Sabbath days themselves, the eves of the new moons, and the new moons, and the feasts, and days of celebrations of the house of Israel. Beautiful in stature, she was very lovely to look upon. Manasseh, her husband, left her gold and silver, men and women servants, livestock and fields. She kept up this property, and no one spoke ill of her, for she feared God and was devoted to him. When Judith heard the angry words the people spoke against the rulers, being weak for want of water, and the things Uzziah said to them by oath, promising them after 5 days to surrender the city to the Assyrians, she sent her faithful maid, who was responsible for all her possessions, to call on Jabez and Charmis, elders of the city. They came to her, and she said to them, "Listen to me now, rulers of the people of Bethulia. Your words spoken today to the people are not right, nor is the oath you have sworn and pronounced between God and yourselves, promising to surrender the city to our adversaries, unless the Lord turns and helps you in so many days. Now, who are you to put God to the test this day, setting yourselves up as God's equal among the sons of men? You are testing the Lord Almighty, but you will never come to know anything. You cannot plumb the depths of the heart of man, nor grasp the thoughts of his mind. How then do you expect to search out God, who made all these things, and come to understand his mind or comprehend his purpose? No, brothers, do not provoke the Lord our God to anger. For if he does not wish to come to our aid within 5 days, he has the power to protect us any time he pleases, or even to destroy us before the face of our enemies. But do not put a time bind on the purposes of the Lord our God, for he is not to be threatened as a man, nor to be coaxed as a human being." So, she was a wise woman that feared the Lord and trusted in God. And, you know, when I first read this story, I thought that might not have been the proper way to talk to the men, the elders. But the truth is the truth, whether it comes from a woman or anybody. The truth is still the truth. And I think that's something we need to prepare ourselves to hear and to love, whatever that is, whatever that means. And we know that in other times in the Bible, God used women to speak to men and give them wisdom and help or leadership in some way or another, because the men have become weak or whatever the problem is. And his purposes are brought about. And I really appreciate verse 16. Do not put a time bind on the purposes of the Lord our God, for he is not to be threatened as is a man, nor to be coaxed as a human being. Sometimes we, in our lives, we want to kind of do that. You know, if he'll do this by then I'll do it his way. But if not, I'll just figure something out and do it. God's not going to be working with it like that. God is God. We are men. Therefore, while we wait his deliverance, let us call upon him to help us. And if it pleases him, he will hear our voice. For there has not arisen in our generation, nor has there been in this present time, any tribe or family or people or city of ours that bowed down to gods made with hands, as happened in earlier times. Because of this, our fathers were given over to the sword and the pillage, and that is why they suffered a great defeat before our enemies. But we know no other God but him. Therefore we have hope. He will not disregard us, nor any of our nation. For if we are seized, all Judah will fall, and our sanctuary will be plundered, and he will make us accountable for its profanation with our blood, for the slaughter of our brethren, and captivity of our land, and the desolation of our inheritance, he will bring upon our heads, regardless of where we are enslaved among the Gentiles. We will be an offense and a reproach in the eyes of those who master us, for our servitude will not be to our benefit, rather, the Lord our God turn it to humiliation. Now, my brothers, let us set an example for our people, for their very lives depend upon us. Furthermore, the sanctuary, the temple, and the altar rest upon us. Besides all this, let us be thankful to the Lord our God, who is testing us just as he did our fathers. Remember his actions toward Abraham, how he put Isaac to the test. Recall what happened to Jacob in Mesopotamia of Syria while shepherd to the sheep of Laban, the brother of his mother, for he has not tested us with fire, even as he did them, to search out their hearts, nor has he punished us. Rather, the Lord scourges those drawing near to him as a warning. So she says that we have not followed false gods, verse 20, as some of those before us did and were suffered for it. So let's trust God and be faithful still. And that all of this, their whole nation rests upon what we're doing right now. And if we only knew how much of that holds true for us, you know, in everyday decisions and things that we make, every day about. Sometimes they're just little things, but sometimes they're bigger things, but how they mold our part of the kingdom and how they shape not only our lives, but our families and the church and our testimony and community and before the world and angels. And then the Lord scourges those drawing near to him. That's a blessing. I mean, and it says let us be thankful up here. Let's be thankful for this tribe. Thankful to the Lord our God who is testing us. I mean, that's a challenge, to be thankful when he's testing us. Usually, we don't want to be tried and tested. We don't want to go through any difficult situations. But the reason to be thankful is that He's counting us worthy to be tested and to be refined and made more like Him. Another little thought I had there is remember His actions toward Abraham and how He put Isaac to the test. Makes you wonder how much Isaac had to do with his own sacrifice. Verse 28, then Uzziah said to her, all that you said, you spoke with a good heart, and there is no one who will oppose your words. This is not the first day on which your wisdom has been evident, but from your earliest years, all the people have recognized your understanding. Because the disposition of your heart is good. But the people are very thirsty, and they compelled us to do just as we spoke to them and caused us to take an oath, which we will not break. Now pray for us, since you are a devout woman, that the Lord will send rain to fill our cisterns, and we shall not faint from thirst again. I was talking with a couple this week, a man and wife, that I had known years ago, 25 years ago, the church I was with, talked to them a little bit about a lot of things, but one of the things was how churches hire and fire their ministers, you know, and how that makes them a basically a puppet of the kind of Mexican political thing. So as long as they please the church, then they got a job. And if they don't please the church, they lose their job. It's kind of like a business. And it causes what happened here. The people were very thirsty, and they compelled us to do just as we spoke to them. Not that these men were necessarily hired, but to please people, leaders often do things they shouldn't do. And I just explained to them how it's not that way. We don't have that situation. They're just ministers are the ministers until they need to. They're old, or until something happens that they shouldn't be. But it's not a business. Then Judith replied to them, hear me, and I will do something which will be known unto all the generations of our descendants. You must stand at the gate tonight, and I will go out with my maid, and within these days in which you promised to surrender the city to our enemies, the Lord will deliver Israel by my hand. But you must not ask me what I am going to do, because I will not tell what I am going to do until I complete the task. So Uzziah and the rulers said to her, go in peace. May the Lord God go before you to take vengeance upon our adversaries. So they left the tent and returned to their posts. I think this book is rich in spiritual application. Of course, we're not living in this time. There's a lot of things that they would probably have done different. They did do different. I mean, they were battling against, warring against their enemies and things like that. And we don't do that. We've been taught a higher path than the Lord came. But the principles upon which they stood are still very much alive. But one thing I want to get in the most probably out of this chapter is what it's all talking about, and that is how to seek God's deliverance or help. And that's one that's the assignment I want you to come up with next week is a Bible verse that would give us instruction on when we need something, how to approach God, how to ask God, what should we say, well, if you help me out in a few days, I'll serve you, but I'll do it your way, but if not, I'm going to do my own path. You know, that's we know that's wrong. And this is kind of what, and I'm not saying that the elders said that so much, but they, you know, they were just, maybe he'll deliver us and maybe he won't. But I've talked to, I mean, I've seen situations where people said, you'll do this, I'll do this. And sometimes God almost honors that. Think of Jacob when he said, you'll see me through, you'll be my God. And I wonder about that. But maybe he wasn't saying it like we read it, or it sounds like this situation. He wasn't really testing God, but maybe he was, I don't know. But in any case, how should we ask God for help? How should we petition or bring our needs before the Lord and respond? Some Bible verse that would talk about prayer and asking God for help is what it gets right down to, and how we should respond, how we should seek the Lord's help. There's other ones too, there's a lot in this chapter. I think this is the first time it really brings up her, this chapter in the book. And I don't know. Does anybody know? Is that the Gideon we know? That was her great, 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 great grandfather. I tried to figure that out, but I couldn't. In the time I had to study, I don't think that would work.
I mean, for the time frame, there's not enough grades in there.
Then I don't know who Sarah Sadai was, son of Israel. That must be a Greek rendering of a name. But anyway. But we know her husband was a wealthy man, and his name was Manasseh. He passed away.
This week we're supposed to say a verse about God giving water, and I found here in John 4:10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
Judah 15:18-19. Then Samson became exceedingly thirsty and wept before the Lord and said, "You were well pleased to grant this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now I shall die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised." And God broke open a hole low in the ground, and out from it water came forth, and he drank. His spirit returned, and he was revealed. Therefore he called it the spring of the one who called, which is in Lehi to this day.
After Moses had led the Israelites across the Jordan River, they drank. They were really thirsty, and the water there was bitter. And so then God made the water sweet.
We had the same assignment as the younger boys, and I got in Matthew 5:6, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
I got John 4, verse 14, where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him will become a well of water springing up in him eternal life.
Thus Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the desert and found no water to drink. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore he named that place Bitterness. Then the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet.
I had the same verse as Bill. John 4:13-14. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Whosoever shall drink unto this water shall never thirst again. But whosoever shall drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in the well of water and springeth up into everlasting life."
Isaiah 41:17-20. The poor and needy shall rejoice exceedingly, for when they seek water, that there is none, and their tongues are parched with thirst. I, the Lord God, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. But I will open rivers in the mountains and fountains in the midst of the plains. I will make the desert into marsh meadows and the dry land into aqueducts. I will plant the cedar, the box tree, the myrtle, the cypress, and the white poplar in the waterless ground, so they may see, know, consider, and understand together that the Lord's hand did all these things, and the Holy One of Israel created them.
Isaiah 55:10. For as rain comes down or snow from heaven and does not return until it saturates the earth and it brings forth and produces and gives seed to the sower and bread for food, so shall my word be.
Yeah, Psalms 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, many of Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, men rose up against us, and they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindling against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, and the steam has gone over our souls. Then the proud waters had gone over our souls. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us a peep of pair of their teeth, so our soul is escaped as a bird, not out of the shame of the flowers. And the skin is broken and we are escaped. Our help is the name of the Lord, who named the earth and heaven.